Well, praise the Lord. Y'all sound like you're having a good time in praise and worship. That's where your freedom comes, is in praise and worship. Amen. If you don't get it then, you might not get it the rest of the service. How many come expecting to receive a miracle today? Then just receive. You know, I can't give it to you, but the Holy Spirit that's here can give it to you. You already have the miracle inside of you. You just have to bring it forth. That's the truth. We have God living inside of us, right? He's a miracle worker, right? So then just bring it forth. Isn't that easy to say? So easy to say. Father, I just thank you for all these hungry hearts that came out this morning. I thank you, Father God, for those who are inclined to really believe and receive the miracle that they need this day, this second, even as they stand in your presence. And Father, the work that you started during praise and worship, I'm asking you to finish it throughout this service. And every need, Father God, meet it this morning. Every desire, Father God, that's directed toward heaven, Father God, I'm asking that you give them the desires of their heart this morning. Holy Spirit of God, we give you full and total and complete rule and reign in this house. Do what God is speaking to you to do. Holy angels of God, we just thank you that you're here carrying out the wishes of our Father. Touch your people. Touch God's people. Touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And Father God, magnify yourself in these people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, sometimes when you read the word and you preach the word and you hear the word, it seems to contradict itself, doesn't it? You know, but it really never does, all right? It never does. It's just our feeble little minds that can't quite comprehend the magnitude of what God's word is telling us. And then it's us as people, instead of us being like little children, we're grown-ups. We've lost that little childlike faith. And, you know, we come to God with all of our preconceived notions of how he thinks he should do something and how we think that he needs to do something. And if we would just come as little children, trusting, believing, knowing that he is your Father and that he will do everything that he promised you he would do. But see, we even falter there. He promises us all these wonderful things he's going to do. And some little thing happens, and then you say, God, are you ever going to do it? Yes, he is. He's going to do it in his timing and in his way. And every time we put our hand in the pie, we destroy things, and God has to start all over again. One thing about the body of Christ, we have a hard time keeping our hands out of the mix. We say, God, it's all yours. Then let something happen that we don't understand, and then we start questioning God, but yet we tell him it's all his, right? So if it's all his and he's working everything out for our good and for his glory and the way it needs to be worked out. And I'm just as guilty as everybody sitting here. God, when are you ever going to do this thing? You know, it's been years or it's been months or whatever. God, you said, but my eyes are not seeing what you said. Let's all be honest this morning. We all go there, don't we? And we wish we wouldn't, but we still do. So what we're going to practice is not going there anymore. We're going to practice trusting and believing God that he is in control and he knows exactly how to bring everything to pass. I really believe with all my heart, and I've really been working on this, if I can become like a little child once again as I was when I was first born again, then God can use me mightily. But as an adult, he can't use me. Because my adult mind, finite as it is, thinks it knows how to work things out. But my little childlike faith that I had when I was first born again, I just trusted and believed and let God do whatever he wanted to do, any way he wanted to do it. And I've really been feeling in my spirit for 2 weeks, we need to go back to that childlike faith. We need to go back to where, all right, you know, you're my father, you're taking care of me, and you're not going to let me fall or falter. You're going to make sure that I'm going to finish my race. Come on. It's going to take childlike faith, saints of God, or else we're not going to make it. We need to quit trying to figure everything out. We need to get rid of our head knowledge, and we need to just let God be God. This morning I'm going to talk about be content. Matthew 14:22. Let's read the scripture. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. This is where Jesus just fed the multitudes, right? And when he had sent the multitudes away, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. You know, I like that. And when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. We always call somebody and say, will you pray with me? Isn't that what we do? But Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray to the Father. And there's nothing wrong with asking somebody to pray to you. So don't say, I said you shouldn't do that. I just wanted to point that out. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Every time you are in a mess, this is what Jesus is saying to you. Immediately, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And if we could grasp that concept this morning, when we get into those troubled waters, we would not sink. Because God told me many, many times, daughter, I am with you in those valley experiences. I'm holding your hand. I'm walking through it with you. So I shouldn't be afraid of anything, right? Because he's there walking through it with us. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now see, this is the way we are. We cry out to God, God, help me. And God says, I'm here in the midst of this thing. I'm going to see you through it. But whenever the trouble keeps getting worse and worse and the winds grow contrary, we immediately get our mind off of Christ and we sink down into that valley of despair. And God doesn't want us to do that anymore. We must get out of that. We must stop going there with the enemy every time something doesn't go the way we think it should go. Are you listening here? I'm telling you guys, if you're like me, the enemy's after you like he's never been after you before. He's after you because you are anointed of God, and we are in the end times, and we are mighty warriors for God, and we're going to tear down the kingdom of darkness. And every time you step out there to work for the Father, and whenever you're going to mess with the devil's kingdom, he's going to come after you every time. And you know, if he can't get you, he'll come at you through your loved ones. In other words, he'll attack your loved ones. But you have to keep on going. I was reading an article by Jennifer DeClaire, I think she is. She works for Charisma Magazine. I was reading that last night, and she said when she started fighting against Jezebel and destroying her kingdom, she said she got sicker than she'd ever been in her life. Her finances started getting messed up. Everything in her life went backwards, all because she was teaching about Jezebel and how to defeat Jezebel. She said, every time you come after the enemy, and we know that, we teach that all the time, every time you come at the enemy, he's going to come back at you. Now, are you really going to work for God? If you are, then you're going to have to know that you're going to have to fight the enemy. He's going to come after you. He's not going to sit by and say, oh, well, go ahead and tear my kingdom down. He's not going to do that. He's going to try to stop you. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you. We need to quit playing around with the devil. We need to stand our ground and say, I don't care what you throw at me, devil. I'm going to go ahead and do the things that God's called me forth to do. You can do whatever you want to do, but you can't kill me. It's never what he did to Job. He'd do anything. God said you can do anything to him, but you can't kill him. So think about it this way. You're going to be alive when it's all over with. You know, it doesn't matter how much the devil puts you through. You're not going to be dead. You're going to be alive. Come on. So verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, when Peter saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O, you of little faith, why did you doubt? There is our problem. We don't have enough faith to trust God in the midst of a storm. I'm up here, guys. They can well take care of her. You don't have enough faith that God can take care of you in the midst of the storm. Listen to that. See, the devil wanted to distract you right there, and he distracted you. In the midst of the worst storm in your life, God is able to take care of you if you keep your faith upon him. This is where we're at right now in this dispensation. We're going to need faith like we've never needed faith before. We're going to have to know the word. We're going to have to understand that God is with us and he's taking care of us. If he called you on a journey, he's not going to leave you in the middle of that journey. If he called you to do something, he's not going to stop three quarters of the way and say, well, now the rest, you go on by yourself. He's going to go with you from beginning to end. See, and our problem is we don't like to have our feathers ruffled. But the devil has become very good at ruffling our feathers. He's become very good at making us look at the circumstances instead of keeping our eyes upon Jesus. He's become very good at that. The problem is the body of Christ made him very good. So verse 32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. If you'll keep your eyes upon Jesus, eventually the storm ends. Only for another storm to start. You go from one storm to the other. But, you know, I don't know about you, but after a fashion, you get excited about the storms because God shows himself strong in the storm and gets you all excited so you're ready for the next storm because you want to see what God's going to do for you in the next storm. And he always shows up on time. He's never late. So don't think, oh, well, you're going to... No, he's never late. God always shows up on time. Now, see, my faith could be weakened by watching our sister here. We've been praying with her and believing with her for total and complete healing. We haven't seen it yet. That is not dwindling my faith. I know that God has already touched her. And I know that one day, miraculously, it could even be this second, she's going to be healed totally and completely from crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Cancer cannot live in the body of Christ. We were talking about that yesterday. In Germany, they have a cure for cancer. Why doesn't America have a cure for cancer? Because they still want the money that the doctors get from keeping the people sick. We need to start, quit going to the hospital. No, I shouldn't have said that. We need to start trusting God, our great physician, to heal us. Amen. There are many of us here this morning that have stepped out in faith, believing the Lord has called us upon the water, only to find ourselves sinking. That's your doubt, all right? There are many of us here today that have stepped out in faith, believing the Lord has called us upon the water, only to find ourselves sinking. We have believed God for healing, a restored relationship, a career change, or a breakthrough of another kind, and are taken aback because rather than rising above a situation, we are sinking under. Listen here now. Dazed and confused, we crawl back into the boat, wondering why God let us sink. If God called you to something, He is not going to leave you. And see, because God called you to something and you were obedient to go ahead and do what God called you to do, the enemy immediately started bombarding you. He is going to throw everything at you that he has. One time when I was going through a lot of stuff, you know, well, I've always been going through a lot of stuff, but I said, God, it's getting worse. What's going on? He said, Satan's little minions could not take you down, so Satan himself has come after you. And believe me, he's brought all of hell with him. But he's not going to be able to kill you. That's why I tell you, you're going to still live, even though you're going through a terrible battle. So what has God called you to do? What magnitude is it that he's called you to? How many lives is it going to touch? That's the magnitude of how Satan's going to come after you. Are you listening here? And you know, you should, I've got the Holy Spirit all over me. You should be excited because you know that Satan's already been defeated in this situation, but he's still going to keep coming at you just like a, you know, in a boxing ring. I've watched people, they know they're already done, but they keep getting back. I think, why don't you just lay there? You know, they keep getting back up, and that's the way Satan is. He knows he's finished. He knows that you're going to go ahead and do the thing God called you to do, and you're going to accomplish what God wanted you to accomplish in that mission, but he's going to try to stop you until you get that mission accomplished. Now, God's saying to you, are you going to back down, or are you going to stand? Are you going to go ahead and do the mission, complete the mission? It'll save souls. It's going to bring light to the body of Christ, these missions you're on. It's going to bring revelation knowledge of what's going on up in the heavenly realm. Are you going to go ahead and finish it? You have to determine your heart this morning. What am I going to do with this thing that God has called me to do? The Lord is saying to Peter, Peter, I called you out on this water for a purpose. And sinking even just a little was part of it. Peter, I called you out on this water for a purpose, and sinking even just a little was part of it. It taught Peter a lesson in faith. Not everything is going to run as smooth as you think it is. When God called, you know, I used to always think, oh, God called me to do it, and this is going to be wonderful. You know, it's just, you know, I'm going to be riding up here in cloud 10, and I find myself down underneath cloud whatever, trying to crawl out and say, God, what is this? You called me to this purpose. Why am I down here? Why am I not up there? It was all in the plan. And, you know, what it should have done was make you stronger and not weaker. It should have strengthened you for the next storm that you know that you're going to go through. I love Paul. And I was reading about Paul yesterday. That man had it. And I just wish the whole body of Christ would have it like Paul did. He knew whom he served. And he did it with such gladness from the very depth of his soul. And he didn't complain. And that man spent more time in prison than he did out of prison. And I was thinking about him last night. His job when he was working for the devil was to put people in prison. And then when he worked for God, I guess his job was to sit in prison and praise the Lord. You know, what he did to others was happening to him now. But he did not complain. He praised the Lord. And see, we really are good complainers. Storms are not a surprise to God. We really need to start understanding that the storms that come our way in life are not a surprise to the Father. Get that in your spirit this morning. God knows, you know, if we say that God knows all things about us, then why do you think a storm is a surprise to Him? If we say that God knows exactly what we're going to do from the time that He breathes life into us to the time we die, then how come we think, oh, this can't be God whenever adverse things happen to us? God knows all about us. Yes, we go down roads we shouldn't go. And God's even told me, daughter, I never meant for this to happen in your life. But He still knew I was going to go there. Are you understanding this? He didn't want me to, but he knew me and my little flesh was going to go there. So I had to pay the price. Are you listening? Somebody that I know is very sick right now, and God told me before they ever got sick, they're going to have to reap what they sowed. And it's going to become really bad on them. But in the midst of them reaping what they sowed, they're going to turn back to me, and they'll start following me once again. So, you know, sometimes people, you know, are really sick or whatever. Things are bad. Things are happening to them. It could be you sowed a lot of bad seed. And now you have to pay for those, reap those bad seed that you sowed. And that the Word of God tells you that. But that's all right. Go ahead. Say, you know, just like me, a couple times I've sowed some bad seed. We all have. And then I had to reap that. And I said, oh, dear Lord, why'd I ever do that? But, you know, I said, I just say, God, that's all right. I'm still going to serve you. I still love you. And you have to bet that little thing's over with and you forget all about it. So don't stop in the middle of that either. When you're reaping what you've sown, take it like a soldier and go on. Amen? We already said it's going to say it again. We really need to start understanding that the storms that come our way in life are not a surprise to the Father. Why can't we understand that we are talking about the God that holds the entire universe in place with the power of His Word and works things out through the counsel of His supreme will? Why can't we understand that? We don't have a good concept of who the Father is our problem. We don't have the concept that He is the Father. Aren't you glad He's your Father? And aren't you glad the Word tells us He chastens those that He loves? Aren't you glad He's not going to let you go ahead and fall into a ditch and say, ha ha ha, I told you so. I've seen many fathers in natural do that. But our Father doesn't do that. He leads and guides and directs us with His strong right hand. And He's always there to pull us out of any ditch that we fall into. He's always there to tell us He loves us. He's always there with outstretched arms. And yeah, I don't care how bad you are, guys, and I can be bad every now and then. And God will say, daughter, I still love you. Just come on. Just get back up. I still love you. He's there to forgive and to forget. He's there to reassure you that you're His child. He's there to bring calm where there's turmoil around about you. He can bring you perfect peace in the midst of that turmoil. I don't know about you, but that's the Father that I serve. And I don't know about you, but I don't think we should ever disappoint our Father, do you? We should never disappoint our Father. In other words, let's just do what He's called us to do. And let's do it with a happy heart, with outstretched hands for others, compassion, long-suffering, love. Let's just be like the Father. Do you really believe that this storm that the disciples found themselves in the midst of really surprised God? I don't think so. He was after Peter, wasn't he? He knew little big mouth Peter was going to put his foot in his mouth once again. But he was going to teach Peter a lesson about faith. And I think some of us sitting in here, we get cocky. You know, and so God said, okay, then I'm just going to let you put your foot in your mouth. I'm going to let you sink just a little. Then when you cry out to me, I'm going to pull you back up out of that mess. I'm just saying what I'm just hearing the Father say, so just go ahead and receive it, all right? You know, God does not like a prideful spirit. He does not. If you start getting prideful, God's going to do something to take that pride out of you. We need to constantly give God all the honor and the glory for everything that happens, because if it wouldn't be for God, we couldn't do nothing. We have Neil Russell here who is the author of a great and wonderful book. Without God, he couldn't write that book. Without God, he wouldn't have that revelation knowledge. So he always gives God the glory for that. And this is what each one of us need to do. See, too many pastors, evangelists, whatever, they take the glory for what God is doing through them. And we need to understand all we are is a willing vessel that said, here I am, Lord, use me. And then when you go forth, then God starts using you. But it's God that's doing it, not you. When God says, lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. And God says, that whatever you stretch your hand forth to do, daughter, I'll do. So when you lay your hands forth to heal the sick, he lays his hand on there. It's not you. You're just a vessel. But you have to keep yourself a vessel of honor that he can work through. You can't mess up and play with the world and play with God. That doesn't work. You have to stay totally and completely sanctified in Christ. Let's look back at the text and I'll show you what I mean here. Matthew 14:22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Notice in verse 22 that it says Jesus made the disciples go into the boat so they could go to the other side before him. Now the Greek word used here for made is A-N-A-K-G-K-A-Z-O. A-N-A-G-K-A-Z-O is an odd way to get folks in a boat if you were to ask me. The Vine's lexicon explains that the word denotes to put constraint upon, to constrain, whether by threat, entreaty, force, or persuasion. God probably said, get yourself in the boat and get going. And there was no question about it. He didn't say, well, if you feel like getting in the boat. It said he made them get in the boat. If you really listen to the disciples, they really tried to mess Jesus up by their dumb questions they ask like we do. And the stupid things that they do like we do. And so Jesus wanted them out of his hair for a season. So he said, get in the boat and get to the other side. It doesn't tell you what they were going to do on the other side, does it? He just said, get in there and go. All right? So what if God says to you, go? And that's all he says, just go and do. Like, go and do what? Just go. And when you get there, I'll tell you what to do. I was talking to Sister Mary this morning, and I said, I was thinking about God, when you asked me to go overseas, I don't really know how to do that. And I meant travel. I don't know how to go about travel. And she said, just do it. She said, just go. You'll be able to do it. And see, this is what God is saying. When I ask you to do something, just go. Just do it. But we get all this here philosophy going. You know, we ask God all these silly questions, and God just says, just go. Just go. Why can't we just obey God and just go? All right? We used to do that when we was first born again, our first love. Oh, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. And we went on and on and on, and we did everything you wanted us to do. But then we got a little bit of dumbness in us, and then we started questioning things God wanted us to do. But God's been dealing with me. He said he wants the whole body of Christ to get back to their first love. You know, you get back to when you first was born again and you just thought God was the greatest thing going, you know, and you just, anything he asked you to do, you did. You didn't question anything. You just did. This is where God wants us to go to again. Don't question him. Just do. It doesn't make any sense, Lord. Hey, did God say to you, I want to make sense out of this? No, he said, just do. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, so let's just go in here. You can see its intensity in Luke 14:23 when Jesus was giving the parable of the Great Supper in the kingdom of God, where it is translated, compel. Luke 14:23, then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Why? That's my house, that my house may be filled. You know, God had the Great Supper prepared, but the church did not want to come to the supper. So God sent a servant out, and he said, compel the world to come in. Why did he want them to do that? Because he wanted his house to be filled. Do you understand this is the stage that we're in right now in this season? Where the church itself has denied Christ, and now God is bringing in the world into the church. There's a young man that comes to my house, been coming to my house a couple of times, and he has a bad leg from an accident. He was 16, and he said, can I swim in your swimming pool? I said, sure. And so he told Sister Teresa that he got in that pool, made a couple laps around the pool, and all of a sudden started floating. He's never been able to float in his life. And then when he was talking to me about it yesterday, he said, when I was floating, he said, my body left me. He said, something left my body. That's how he said it. He said, I was up there somewhere. What happened to me in that pool? This man knows nothing about the Spirit. He wants to come here and see about what's going on here. He knows nothing about the Spirit of God. Yet when he was in that swimming pool that we do the baptisms in, the anointing's in that pool. And when he swam in there, he felt the anointing. But yet my family gets in there and they don't feel nothing. Because they've been around the things of God. And they've walked away. They're backslidden right now. But this young man knows nothing about nothing. And when he got in the pool, the Spirit of God hit him. He said, I floated all over that pool. Didn't even sink. And he said, something left my body. I felt it leave. And I was up there. See, childlike faith. No doctrine in him. So the Spirit of God was able to move upon him. Amen. Brother Allen said when he was baptized yesterday, God baptized him in his river, in God's river, as he was floating around there. You know, when you get in the presence of God and you let God have his own way, God can do all things. I love the baptism because there's so much anointing in the pool. Then all day I'm walking around in that anointing, you know. I just love it. It's almost as if Jesus was saying, please get in the boat. You must get in the boat. You can imagine the intensity if they were already in a sinking ship and he was trying to get them into a lifeboat. But this situation is the other way around. Read that again. You can imagine the intensity if they were already in a sinking ship and he was trying to get them into a lifeboat. But this situation is the other way around. Jesus was compelling them to get into a boat that was going to encounter a storm. Hey, that's what God does to us. He tells us, go and do this thing. And he knows we're going to get into a storm when we go into that thing. I don't know about you, but everything that God has ever asked me to do always ends up in a storm. So, you know, and God told me one time, daughter, you're not the only one in this boat. All my true servants are going through the same thing you're going through. So why do we all of a sudden think that we're the only one in the boat? We're the only one going through any problems because God asked us to do it, and we're going through problems. Why do we think we're the only one to encounter that? Get out of here. You're not. God told me, quit it. So I'm telling you, quit it. Everything God calls you to do is always going to end up in a storm because the enemy is always going to come at you to try to stop you from doing the things God's asking you to do for him. Are you understanding this? Is it helping you? If it isn't helping you this morning, I guarantee you in your walk with God, it's going to help you on down the road. I wish somebody would have told me this when I was first born again. It would have saved me a whole bunch of trouble, worry and concern, heartache and tears, right? So I'm teaching you before you get started or as you're getting started in your journey that it's going to end up in a storm. And if it doesn't, praise God. Just thank him you're so unique and so different that he isn't going to let you go through a storm. Amen? We need to understand that sometimes God calls us on the water and then allows us to go under just a little so we can see this sovereign hand reaching out to save us. And see that, you can translate that to say that when he calls us to do something, and he sees pride raising its ugly head. He'll let you sink a little. He'll let a little negative things come your way. He'll let some blockages come your way to let you know that, hey, this isn't you, this is me. And once you realize that, then he'll remove all the obstruction that come your way. And then he'll let you go ahead and do the thing he called you forth to do. Amen. Although we feel forsaken because we are sinking fast, we are not sinking. God is in control. You know, I like to see him, you know, under us holding us. You know, he's there with his hands like this. And as we're going down, he's catching us as we're going down. And he's only going to let us go so far and no further. And then he's going to push us back up again. That's the kind of sovereign God that I serve. I know that I know that I know that he's never going to let me go so far that I can't come back. I know that. I know that if I start sinking, he's going to say, up, and he's going to be there and push me back up again. been at this too long to know that he doesn't do that. And even when you get discouraged and want to quit, he'll be there pushing you back up. Come on, you can make it. Come on, come on. Get back up again. Amen. You know, if you ever think about your earthly parents, my earthly father used to always tell me, he'd say, Jimmy, when you're knocked down, grab hold of your bootstraps and pull your own self up because nobody else is going to help you up. And you know, I've carried it all through my life. Every time that I've been down, I remember what he said, nobody else is going to help you up. You've got to help your own self up. And this is what God wants us to do, to understand nobody else is going to help you up, but he's going to help you up. And so I was always one. I never looked for somebody else to help me up out of my pit. I always pulled my own self up. But I realized as I got in my walk with God that it wasn't me pulling my own self up. It was God pulling me up, right? Because me and my own strength, I couldn't do anything. Because I was down quite a few times growing up. But God always pulled me back up again. Never scratch on me either, by the way. He made sure I was untouched. God will make sure that you're untouched. You'll be unscathed by the enemy. He will. If you just trust him. Put your trust in him and keep it there. Amen. Although we feel forsaken because we are sinking fast, we are not sinking. Jesus is with us. We are not alone. And he is aware of every single thing that is going on. From there, that place of feeling like we are sinking, we are learning an invaluable lesson. We are learning that we will see his hand reach out to us just at the right time. Are you listening? I don't really bring attention to Brother Neil, but I wouldn't want to be in his shoes right now for nothing with what he's doing. Because I know he hasn't said anything, but I know the enemy's fighting him tooth and nail. And I'm thinking, I hold him up in prayer every day because what he's doing is uncovering the enemy, and the enemy is not happy. I bet if you had a testimony, you'd say he's not happy. I don't bet, but I believe. And I believe there's others of you in here that you have a testimony that the enemy is not happy with you. And he's fighting you tooth and nail. Sister Carol, and she went and sold everything she had and left Florida and came here, and she's been under such a severe attack, she doesn't know if she wants to stay here or not, I believe. I haven't talked to her. But she has to understand, you're in the Father's will. And because you're in the Father's will, this is what happens. The enemy comes after you. Are you really ready to receive that if you're in the Father's will, the enemy is going to come after you? The Bible tells you that. You know, before I was born again, I always went to church. I was always a good girl. But I never had any problems. But the second I got born again, my God, I said, God, what is this? All hell's broke loose against me. He said, this is what happens when you say, here I am, use me. And it's been like that ever since 1977. Every now and then, I've wanted to go back to 1977 and forget the words I said. And I'm being honest. Because the attacks sometimes are really severe. And sometimes you think, God, are you sure you're with me? Are you really going to bring me through this battle I'm in right now? I mean, this is the way, you know, I'm being honest. I do think these things. And I think if everybody in here would be honest too, you would sometimes think too, God, are you really in this thing with me? You know? You're not. I verse out loud to God. And I tell y'all what I think, so y'all know too. But, you know, so don't be so condemned if you think those things. God knows you're going to think those things. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Peter sat and ate with Jesus for 3 years. He ministered with Jesus for all that time, but yet still no, he denied knowing Christ. Did God forsake him? No. God went to Peter and he did wonderful things to Peter afterwards. God knew Peter was going to mess up. God knows everybody in this room is going to mess up before he ever calls you to do what works for him. But he's still sovereign, he's still God, and he's still with you, and he'll still pull you up every time you fall. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but 7 times he comes back up again. One day. So don't condemn yourself if you fall. I mean, in other words, if you just get into doubt and unbelief, you know, doubt and unbelief will kill you, you know. God told me one time years ago, daughter, if you don't get out of doubt and I believe, I'm going to take away your candlestick. That scared me because he was serious. So I had to get out of doubt and unbelief in a situation I was in. So are you in a situation you're in doubt and unbelief? I'd get out of it right now, this second. Because if not, God's going to take your candlestick. He's going to uncover you. He's going to take your mantle. He just said all that, so you can just take that, all right? Where am I at? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. See, we always take this scripture out of context. Let's read the whole thing. And we know that all things work together for good. We say that all the time. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You know, if you're doing something God's called you to do, then you can say, we know that all things work together for good. But if you're out there just floating around doing your own thing, you can't quote that scripture. All right? We need, you know, as I read the Bible, I think, you know, a lot of scripture is taken out of context. And we need to keep it in its proper context. God uses both the good and the bad together. Every time I think of it, I think about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Not just the good and not just the bad. He uses all things, the good, the bad, and everything in between, and works it together for good. In his sovereignty, he uses them both. God uses everything in the mix. He just doesn't pick one or two. He uses everything in the mix. Because if he called you on an assignment, Brother Neil is called to write these books. He's called on an assignment. God's going to use the good, the bad, the ugly. He's going to use everything that goes on in between to get to accomplish what he wants to accomplish through the writing of these books. What has God called you to do? God's called Brother Brett to write books. He's dragging his feet, and he should have about 10 written now. But God wants to use his books for a purpose. There's a reason for him saying, you need to write books. That's going to be your livelihood. The books you write are going to keep you and your family. There's a purpose for this. Because he's dragging his feet, the purpose is being delayed. What has God called you to do? God's called me to preach the gospel. He's called me to tell the truth the way it is. He's called me not to compromise. And I don't want to compromise. I hate evil anyhow. That's my purpose in life. My purpose is not to sit down there in a chair, even though that's what I like to do. It's that my purpose is to teach others. And you know, everything we go through is a testimony that you can use to encourage somebody else. Instead of you complaining about all the things you've gone through in your lifetime, you need to start saying, thank you, God, that you knew I was strong enough that I would endure all those things and come out of it so I could then be a witness to other people who go through the same thing that you brought me out of. Now, Brother Neil can witness to other book writers and say, you're going to go through a trial or tribulation. It's not going to come easy, but you can do it because God called you to do it. Are you understanding this? Sister Carol Ann, if she gets her head out of the sands, can say, all right, God's calling you to move from one state to another, leave everything behind and move into a house that gives me poison and makes me sick. But God has a plan and a purpose for it. So if he's calling you out of another state, move. Doesn't matter what you run into, move. Because God's in it. Are you understanding this? You know. I want to move out of Delaware. And God said, no, somebody has to stay here and get Delaware saved. So that's our purpose, is stay here, preach the gospel, and see Delaware get out of the mess that they're in. Are you understanding this? But see, we all want a bed of roses. I did too. I thought, well, I'm born again now. I had a good life before I was born again, by the way. I'm born again now, and everything's going to be, the church is going to be wonderful. Everybody's going to love me. It's just going to be like a bed of roses, and it's just going to be happy, happy, happy. Well, just the opposite was the truth. Just the opposite. The world treated me better than the church did. And a lot of you can say amen to that. Amen. So God didn't say, I'm saving you into a cesspool. But that's what the church, hasn't the church become a cesspool? There's more sin in the church, I think, than in the world. And God didn't tell me I was going to go into that. I probably wouldn't have went. Well, one time I did say, God, why didn't you tell me what was going to happen? It's because if I would have told you, you would not have taken the assignment. Because you wouldn't be able to endure what you had to go through. He said, I told you, live one day at a time. So when God gives you an assignment, take one day at a time. Don't try to think 2 months down the road, because God told me, he said, daughter, what you're going to encounter in this assignment, all you can do is just endure one day at a time. And if you don't live one day at a time, you won't make it. You'll drop the assignment, and you need to finish your assignment. Come on. Some of you are dropping assignments because you think they're too hard. If they were too hard for you, God wouldn't have called you to do it. He knows exactly what you can bear. He knows exactly what you can do for him. And he never calls anybody to do more than they can. Are you understanding this? If there's more on your plate than you can stand and the enemy's in your plate, get him out of your plate. It's up to you to get him out of your plate. It's up to you to say, get out of here. I'm doing the will of the Father. You're going to leave. I'm not leaving. I'm staying in this assignment. And I'm going to finish it. And you're going to get devil and make him go. Simple as that. It really is that simple. We make it too complicated. Peter walked on the water, good, and Peter also began to sink, bad, right? Yet it was all happening under God's watchful eye, and he had a purpose for it all, that everyone on that boat would benefit from then and now. Jesus stand right there watching. He knew Peter was going to fall. He did. I'm still going to walk on water. You know, my testimony when I was first born again, God would just use me to do all great, you know, raise the dead and all this other stuff. And one day I said, now I want to walk on water. Went out my driveway, there was a mud puddle. Put my foot out there, you know. Am I going to sink? I could never put both feet on that mud puddle because I just knew it was going to sink. I didn't have enough faith to walk on the water. If only would I had enough faith, I know I could have walked in the water in that mud puddle. See, I stopped myself from doing that. Because I just knew I was going to sink. A lot of you sitting here this morning, you're stopping your blessing because you just know you can't make it. You just know that God is not able to take care of you. And he's not going to be able to either, because you just tied his hands because of your lack of faith. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Peter only sank a little, yet he was not sunken. Why? Because he served a God who had a plan and a purpose for his life. This was all part of becoming the rock Jesus would build his church upon. Let's read that again. I want you to get it in your spirit. Peter only sank a little, yet he was not sunken. Why? Because he served a God who had a plan and a purpose for his life. This was all part of becoming the rock Jesus would build his church upon. What are you going through? It's all part of the rock that Jesus is building. That you'll go forth and you'll win many souls for Christ. You'll save many lives through the things that God has called you forth to do. Matthew 16:18 said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The same holds true for each one of us here today. God is trying to make us the rock that he can build his church upon. Many of you in here, you'll probably go into foreign nations, but I don't know why we keep going into foreign nations. The United States needs us. He might send you from one state to another just so you can be in that state just to do a great work for the Father. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. These are promises from your Father. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You belong to the Father, not to the devil. You're not half devil and half gods. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. He's saying, I'm your God. I'm for you and I'm not against you. Why can't we believe that God is for us and not against us? I want you to ask yourself that. Verse 4 says, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. God formed you. God made you. God called you for his glory. He's called you so you could do a great and mighty works for him. Quit allowing the enemy to stop you at every turn. God has called you here for a purpose, and you are not alone. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're never alone on the journey that God sends you on. He's always with you. He is there with you, and you will see his hand reach out to you in due time if you faint not. He is there with you, and you will see his hand reach out to you in due time if you faint not. Deuteronomy 20, verse 3 says, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble and be terrified because of them. This is for us. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Wherever you go, it doesn't matter what the enemy is doing, God is fighting that battle for you, right? He's the one that's going before you, preparing the path for you to walk on. You don't have to worry about your enemy. See, it's our little feeble minds that worry about the enemy. We need to say, God, that you, I used to always say, God, this is your battle, and I'm just going to walk on. And I was about the happiest person in the world until I started picking up the battle. And once I started picking up the battle, then I found out then I become oppressed. See, and now I've gone back to God. This is your battle, not mine. And I'm starting to be happy again. So this is what you have to do. God, your word, isn't that what he said here? For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And Isaiah 40:28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He doesn't get weary like we do. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Excuse me. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we wait upon the Lord. Why do marriages get so messed up? Because we don't wait upon the Lord. We're always in there trying to do our thing. God said he's going to restore marriages, relationships that nobody would think would ever be put back together. So are you going to believe that or are you not? 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Read that again. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, let's read it this way. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. Quit wanting to be exalted today. Today's not your day. The Bible says in due time he'll do it. And while you're waiting, like I am, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Some of you really received this message, and some of you, you're going to leave here a changed person. Because you're going to understand that you are doing a work for the Father, and the enemy is upset with you. So he's come at you with everything that he has. Everything that he has. Everything that he has in hell, he's come at you with. So, are you the strong tower that you profess to be? If you are, then everything he has in hell can't touch you. Right? You're not going to fall anymore every time or stumble every time he comes your way, are you? You're going to get bold, stay bold. Be bold no matter what the enemy does against you. I'm hearing God say, this is a very trying time for the body of Christ. This is a very hard, testing time for the body of Christ. Are you going to fail the test? Or are you going to pass the test? Because he says, this is the hardest test that you're ever going to go through in your walk with him. Right now, this season we're in, this is what God is saying. This is the hardest test. If we can pass this test, we're on the victory ride. Because anything the enemy throws at you from this point on is water like on a duck's back. It's just going to roll right off. It's not going to bother you one iota. But you're in the test right now. He said, he keeps using the word mix. That he said the mix is getting stronger and stronger. So he's saying, are you going to come to me with one mind and one accord and trust me, knowing that I'm able to bring you through this thing that you're going through? Or are you going to sit back and whine? You can either whine or just get up and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? You're going to have to practice saying, thank you, Jesus. You really are. You're right now in the midst of the test that we're going through, according to God. We're going to have to learn to say, thank you, Jesus, that you're in control. Thank you, Jesus, that you have the devil on the run. Because you're fighting this battle for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you're giving me understanding and strength to do the things you're calling me to do, even in the midst of the storm that I'm in. Just thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you didn't bring me this far to drop me. Thank you that you never leave me nor forsake me. Just want to thank you, Jesus. I truly want to thank you. That all came from God. Did you feel the anointing on that? Those are the words that we're going to have to say from this day forward. Just thank you, Jesus. There are many, many things, Brother Neil, that you have not understood from the Lord. But God said he's going to give you full and complete understanding of all things. He's going to let you look into the heavenly realm. And he's going to let you see things that are going on up in heaven. And things that you don't have understanding of, you're going to have full and complete understanding of as of this moment. Son, I'm going to start opening up the heavens and you're going to see into the heavenly realm. You're going to see the deep secrets of my heart. You're going to actually be able to walk in heaven and see all your loved ones. You're going to finally understand why things went as they went. And you have questioned me day in and day out about this, but you're going to finally understand. And in your understanding, you're going to find peace. And then you're going to bring that peace to my people. You're going to be able to witness for me in a new light. You will understand my heavenly kingdom better than you've ever understood it before. You're on the verge of the greatest breakthrough of your life, son. Hang in there. Don't give the enemy any space. Don't give him any thought, any time, because, son, he knows where I'm taking you to, and he's very upset because he really thought he had you, but he's finding out he does not have you, and he will never have you, and he is furious at you. And he's saying, and your wife. So that both of you get ready. You get ready for the greatest walk with God that both of you have ever had in your lifetime. And you're finally going to find peace. God said, you haven't had perfect peace. You're finally going to have peace about many situations in your life. And you're going to walk through the rest of this part of your life in perfect peace, taking that peace to the nations. Thank you, Father. And God's saying, many of you in here tonight, today, you're going through some storms and you're thinking, God, are you really in this storm with me? And God's saying, yes. He's saying, yes, I'm with you in this storm. I brought you to this storm. I brought you to this storm for a purpose. Some of you aren't faring too well in the storm. You're faltering and you're wanting to go back to your old self. He says, don't do that. Stay steadfast and stay firm during this storm. And when this storm is over, you're going to be walking on high ground. So if that's you, please take that to heart. Please listen to it over and over again and understand that God has you in this place. And I'm hearing God say he has you in this place because you don't have true sincerity of heart. You're not truly sold, totally, completely, 100% out to God. You're still holding on to some things that you need to let go of. And so God is allowing you to go through this storm to get you to the place of total commitment to get to the Father. Amen. And I'm hearing God say, I'll do whatever it takes to get you totally mine. Unless you tell me, stop, let me alone, I'm going to do everything in my power to get you to be totally mine. And I have all power and all authority. So, what do you want? What do you really want from God? Ask yourself that right now. What do I really want from God? Do I really want his total and complete will for my life? If I do, then I'm going to go through the storms of life without complaining. I'm going to go through the storms of life and I'm going to learn what I have to learn. And I'm hearing him say, I'm going to discern what he wants me to discern. I'm going to walk in full revelation knowledge of heavenly knowledge. I'll no longer think earthly knowledge, but it will be constantly heavenly knowledge. Amen. Each one of you are going to have to get a copy of this CD so you can listen to that over again so you understand what God's saying to you. Some of you in here today, before you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you worked for the dark side and worked very hard for the dark side. And now since you decided, well, I think I'll dabble in the light. I'm saying dabble because that's what God's saying, but I'm going to clarify it for you. You're not quite sure if you want to commit 100% to the light. You still have that little thing in your mind that keeps going back to the what you enjoyed in the dark side. If you know, and God wants you people to commit yourself to him today, that you'll walk in the light 100% and you'll no longer want to go back to that dark side, to that stuff that gave you enjoyment. If that's you, I want you to come up because God's going to give you a special anointing that you'll be able to get into that light totally and completely, and you'll never, ever, ever want to go back to that dark spot that brought you such comfort and such joy. You thought. Amen? There's always a leader. You know, when I was first born again, I would go into a church, and every time they gave an altar call about sin, I'd go up and kneel down at the altar, and I said, God, people are going to think I'm a sinner, and I'm not. He said, I always have to have somebody lead the sheep. And when I'd go up and kneel down at the altar, the rest of the people would come, and they would get what they needed from God. So, you know, you might not even be one of those I just said, but God's nudging you and saying, go up there. If God's using you to do that, then let him use you to do that. But I know that some of you are still, you have not come up yet. And I know that you need to be up here to get that special anointing from God so that you don't go back to the dark side, that you'll stay in the light and you'll be strong to do that. Come on. You know, don't never be ashamed of what's going on in your life. Never. That's where the enemy keeps us bound.